Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Before the break, I was talking about AI in the context of Montai Therapeutics, who I interviewed about their use of artificial intelligence in the development of new drugs. But I alluded to Andrea Gilligan's AI Week. And on Tuesday, myself, Pat and Andrea were looking ahead to her AI week, and we were joined by our colleague here at News Talk, Lachlan Hart, because Lachlan used a platform called Udio, so udio.com, and he asked it to write a song about Pat Kenny. Now, brace yourself. If you missed it, take a listen.
Over emerald hills, radio waves of voice that fills every corner of our minds with stories that unwind. Pat Kenny on the air, wisdom shared with flair. Tuning in, we find our spark, a lighthouse in the dark. Raise your voice. Let's talk it through.
Yeah, that's the Pat Kenny song. That is something that Udio, so udio.com, produced, supervised by Lachlan Hart, who's the imaging manager here at News Talk. I have never seen Pat Kenny as happy in the 10 or 11 years I've known him as he was when that song was going out on air. It just shows you the scary slash remarkable nature of AI when it comes to art and the creation of art. There's been a whole host of other examples of songs being generated by AI, but that just made me laugh. So fair play, Lachlan, and Udio, or Udio, depending on how you say it. There you go. Right, we are going to stick with the arts. Ish. I'm joined once again by Cameron Hill and Kira Tracy, the Tech Talk Book Club. Lads, how are you?
Never better. Super. Thanks so much for having us on. It's been a hot minute.
It has been a hot minute, is correct and right. So we were reviewing Small Fry by Lisa Brennan Jobs, and this was Cameron's pick. Mm-hmm. So Cameron, just remind us why you opted for this one.
Well, I wanted a book you'd like. After last time,
which is really difficult so far.
Yeah, after the roaring success that was Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So I picked this because I'm very interested in Steve Jobs, and kind of, you know, it's about 13 or so years since he passed away. Mm-hmm. And the cult of Steve Jobs has probably never been stronger. Like, you think it's Steve Jobs, he's the patron saint of Silicon Valley. He's an idol to so many tech bros and startup lads.
And sisters.
Sisters. Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely. He's a huge figure in the world of tech, but also in the world of business. I was listening to a podcast about the life of him a couple of weeks ago, and they made the point that, like, before Steve Jobs came on the scene and afterwards, there's probably a huge spike in how many products have been described as beautiful constantly, and that's as a result of him. So he's got this huge personality and huge persona in the fields of tech, business, I would say just pop culture generally.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of those names that it's so ubiquitous with the 21st century. But there's a lot of stuff out there about him, and a lot of it is he's quite polarizing as a figure, and mm-hmm. a lot of the biographies on him, the one by Walter Isaacson, is quite fawning at the end of the day. Like, he takes him to task over certain things, but ultimately he's quite positive on the influence of Steve Jobs. I've heard other things that aren't so great. I've heard things about the conditions in his factories and his relationships with staff and firing people in lifts and everything like that. But I thought one of the best sources on him as a person and who he was would be one of the people closest to him, which was his daughter,
yeah.
or someone he finally accepted was his daughter after.
Literally close is an interesting word, because that's what the book explores so much,
exactly,
which I found fascinating.
Yeah, we'll come to the book in a sec. Keir, did you know much about jobs in terms of the stuff Cameron was mentioning there, because, you know, to someone like me, he is an icon. And when I think about exciting tech launches, the thing that instantly comes to my mind is the very first iPhone launch, where he was stood on the stage in his jeans and his black polo neck, and he was teasing the audience about, you know, imagine a device that was a camera, a calculator, yeah, a communication device. Like, he was such an iconic figure in the world of tech. Did you know much about him as a personality before the book?
Not at all. Like, I literally just knew he was your man behind Apple. Mm. And that was literally like all I knew. I didn't really know much about his personality or his background or his family. Not at all. So yeah, this was really interesting, like a fresh slate for me.
I didn't know a whole lot about his persona or the complexities of his personality until, yeah, I watched a few of the movies that existed.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
So did you ever meet him?
No, I would, like, that would be up there for me. Like, it, yeah, would just, absolutely, have been incredible. But like, people that I know who have met him, they talk about his aura. Like someone like Bill Clinton, for example. Bill Clinton apparently has this aura that when you're in his presence,
yeah, I can believe
you
that,
just get this sense. But when it came to Steve Jobs, I just knew him as the dude who led innovation at Apple, right?
Yeah.
And it was only when I watched the film starring Michael Fassbender,
mm,
that I was like, oh, maybe he was a bit of a gumbean. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe my brain didn't care because I just wanted the innovation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
and it's almost, you almost get a free pass when you're that much of a
genius,
a great mind.
100%. And so I was actually delighted, Cameron, when you picked this book, because one thing that does intrigue me is when you have those iconic figures and people who are given the label of genius. Like you said, I'd love to hear this, the perspective of the family, the friends, like the best friend who goes for a drink on a Friday night. You have to just listen to them talk about how brilliant they are. So just bring us into this book then. So it's the story of, it's Lisa Brennan Jobs. I'll be honest, I listened to the audiobook version of this.
Interesting.
Did
she narrate that herself?
No, she didn't. No, somebody else did, who has got a lovely voice and it was very enjoyable. I can't remember your one's name. I listened to it on Audible. So how does the book get started, or what did you make of it from the very outset of the book?
Well, I kind of knew a bit about her story and her relationship with Jobs from, obviously, the film, as you say, with Michael Fassbender, delves into that a good bit, and their relationship between father and daughter. And I knew that he, for a long, long time, basically wouldn't acknowledge that she was his daughter. And there's a really famous, infamous quote from the Time magazine interview he does, where he's, is it something like he creates an algorithm that proves that 30 or something, yeah, percent of all men
could, you know, oh, that was vile, vile.
Which, you know, you can infer whatever you,
yeah,
want.
Yeah, absolutely.
That, he was saying, no, I'm just saying that DNA tests are faulty, which, and you know, they weren't what they are today in the 80s when he did it. But I knew the relationship was fraught, but I didn't know how much he'd engaged with it. The film would give you the impression that he only started to buy into her once she got to college, whereas this book will show you that he was in on-again, off-again presence throughout, even if it was quite distant. So from the outset, going into the book, I thought, this is going to be fascinating to see just how involved he was. And I know we'll get into it later, but you can see the correlation between things not going so well for him from a professional standpoint and him investing more time.
Yeah.
There's a really good line very early on in the book of Chrisanne, who's Lisa's mother, and Steve Jobs' on-again, off-again girlfriend throughout the 80s when he was just coming up at Apple, saying, he loves you, he just doesn't know that he loves you.
Yeah,
that's, and that if you're to sum up the book in one sentence, it's that.
Yeah.
That he actually comes across as someone who can't express the love in the way that he probably thinks love is communicated.
Yeah.
And there's various different stages, particularly in her childhood, where it's like, you know, you're talking to a child here.
Yeah. There was one bit, Kira, that jumped out at me very early on in the book. And Brennan Jobs kind of outlines the instability of her childhood,
yeah,
and the living conditions. And there's this like incredible juxtaposition of them living in a very, very small, squalery kind of
literally
place.
Literally squalor, yeah.
And then Jobs saying to the mother, oh, well, you can take one of our couches.
And he's not even there to give it to them. They have to.
So they drive up to his mansion, climb through the window and take the couch.
It's crazy.
And his reaction to it is amazing. He kind of just laughs.
Like, yeah, he's like, oh, did you break in? He's like, oh, you.
But I found that really kind of gut-wrenching and just the lack of humanity there.
Absolutely. Mm.
Did you, as someone who doesn't sort of bow at the altar of jobs.
Yeah, not at all.
What was your sentiment towards him at the early stage of the book when you're hearing about little Lisa growing up in these conditions?
Just so absent, so absent. And, you know, Cameron, when you said about that, he basically slut shames, you know, his baby mama. Like, it's actually crazy. And I felt like, for me, I was completely sympathising with Brennan Jobs. Mm. I was following her. You know, I don't tend to choose to read non-fiction, sorry. And I actually felt like I was reading fiction. It felt like a film, you know. It actually really reminded me of Boyhood, the movie. Mm. So much turbulence, and you really do feel for her. And he was just like an alien. Mm. He was so inappropriate. His attitudes towards sex and making her so uncomfortable, making out with his girlfriends really graphically in front of her. It was just so bizarre. I felt like he was not human, you know.
Yeah, no, it's... I definitely... The more the book went on, it's not that I felt sympathy towards him at any stage, but it really did make me question some of the people that are up on pedestals in 2024 as being like utter geniuses and leading the charge. You do still have to be not a dickhead,
literally.
I think, to balance the seesaw of your life between success, happiness and being able to sleep at night.
Absolutely. Well, that reminds me of, there's a part in the book where they're in Hawaii, a family trip to Hawaii. Oh, yeah. And so Steve Jobs loves carrots, right? I didn't know this. Did you guys know that?
Oh,
that,
he was on this really weird diet. I think it's pretty much what led to him dying.
Jesus.
Is that his immunity wasn't...
Jesus. Well, he loves shredded carrot and all sorts like that. And he was in this restaurant in the resort and he's like, right, see this? I want them like matchstick thin carrots. And they came out once or twice and he just went mental saying, you're rubbish, this is horrible, you don't have to do your job, like giving out to the waiter, the manager. And it was just like completely decimated their entire being, which we see him do to his daughter throughout the book as well, make her feel tiny. He had a knack for that, making people feel so small.
He loved a good meltdown in a restaurant, didn't he?
Jesus, he did. It was just bizarre. I felt like I was, honestly, it felt like a film and not real life at all. Like,
just honest, the convoy of Lisa's friends being eviscerated in a restaurant because they ordered something with meat.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
He's like, you're disgusting. She's like a 10-year-old girl, sorry.
Every time it happens, you know it's coming.
Absolutely. She does paint the picture so vividly, doesn't she?
Mm. But did you find it, because it's an entertaining, I listened to it, you guys read it. I think it's a really entertaining book. Mm. But I really did struggle with the enjoyment of it, if you know what I mean, because there's some of the things that just, it's not normal behavior.
No.
And having someone who's the most influential, one of the richest, one of the most innovative brains, behaving like that towards his child is like, I just really, it irked me immensely.
And getting her perspective on how that hangs over everything she does,
how
she interacts. Like, one thing we haven't said yet, this book is so well written.
So
She's
well
an incredible
written.
Writer. But like, I went in and the early parts, you're kind of teasing out their relationship and how their situation, Chris-Anne and Lisa's living situation, how precarious it is. But throughout the book, even the bits where Jobs isn't explicitly involved, he's this spectral presence in everything.
Absolutely, yeah.
Chris-Anne is having a breakdown because life is so unfair, because she's struggling to make ends meet and find a couch for her child and for her to live in with in her apartment. All the while, this guy is buying a house because he liked the forest that was around the house, and he's going to scrap the whole thing.
The disparity
thing anyway.
Is mental, isn't it?
It's like they're completely separate worlds.
Yeah,
really.
I think that figure of that Jobs, like, even when he's not present in her life, as you said, it's the molding. And I think it goes back to, it's something that applies to every child, regardless of whether your dad is involved in the iPhone or not, right? Mm. It's the shaping and it's the role modeling and it's the shape left by absence as well. Like the themes of the book, I suppose, are incredible. I'm amazed by the empathy that comes across from her towards her dad at times.
Like that's unconditional really love, though, isn't it? I really appreciated.
But she writes really well. She writes from the perspective of a child so well. Mm. That's what you get from the early stages of the book, is that I've never seen someone who quite captures just how a child would be thinking about
this. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Like, it's she's so colourful.
She has such adoration for her father, especially bringing it up with the other kids. And one of the bits that always made me laugh when I reread it was when Ron comes in and Ron's like, well, I work at NASA. You know, I'm impressive too. Yeah. And he's competing with this guy who, for all intents and purposes, doesn't give a crap about him.
Yeah.
It's just that he's so omnipresent throughout that there's, what's that line? He carries it with him, this feeling of center. He's the center of every universe that he manages to get into.
Mm.
He's one of the centers of our universe in terms of his influence. But when it comes to someone who has that cult of personality and it's something of an emotional vacuum,
yeah,
you can see the influence it has on her. And just when he's not there, the absence makes the heart grow fonder and fonder. It's almost an addiction.
Yeah. Do you, because the question that I've been mulling over since I finished it is, am I glad that I've read it and has my opinion of Jobs changed as a result? So, you know, when you're a big fan of someone or something and you just want to adore them, whether they are a sports person, a musician, an innovator, whatever, it's just sometimes nice to marvel at their brilliance.
Absolutely. Mm.
And then when you get such an intimate portrayal of their flaws.
And I forget cancel culture. This was like deeply ingrained.
It's actually worse than, and this is just my own opinion, it's actually worse than being cancelled because of something.
No.
Because it's the emotional scars. She's so raw emotionally. Like you can still tell. I wouldn't be surprised if she's in a therapy session every second day.
Dr. Lake.
Like, do you know what I mean? Still to this day, because although this came out in 2018, that the raw nature of the emotions and the fact that she can write so vividly about it all makes me firmly believe that this is something that's shaped who and what she is.
Absolutely.
But from my point of view, I just wonder, would I have been better off not knowing this stuff about Jobs, or is that a case of ostrich?
Yeah, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, which is really interesting because I don't think like that at all, Jess, because I didn't really know much about the guy anyway. For me, this isn't a book about Steve Jobs written by his daughter. This was, for me, a book about a little girl and her relationship with her dad.
Mm.
And that was just fascinating to me. And I don't think he's still an extraordinary mind. Just a bit of a dick.
Yeah, I don't think this is the one book you should read on Steve Jobs and you know everything there is to know about Steve Jobs.
Exactly, because there's so many of the facets to his world. Yeah. Although it might seem like, you know, this is everything, it's a man and his daughter. But yeah, no, there's so many more facets to look at.
No, and when you understand parts of his early life, like he was a child of adoption.
Mm.
And certainly all biographers contend that his parents were great parents and that they supported him. They moved house, they relocated their whole lives to make sure he was in a better school zone. Like they gave him every advantage. And when you're a child of adoption and you're told, no, you were chosen by us, and also have parents who are that doting and make that much of a commitment, you get to the point where very few people are going to say no to you.
Mm.
And that comes across in this, is that when you're talking, whether it's to Chris Ann or to your child or to anybody in your life, it's going to be his way. Like the weekends she spent at his house as a child are like something out of a
Beckett. He was not a yes man at all. Even if he got told yes all the time, he was so cruel.
But weird, even attempts at intimacy. His weekend, bringing her over, involved a salad, a movie, and getting into a hot tub, and then
it was bizarre.
Going into, like,
and even when he was showing like classic signs of affection the father will do to his daughter, like pulling in for a hug. There was a scene again when they're in Hawaii and she's actually, Lisa is feeling really uncomfortable. She's like, God, I want him to look. All she's wanted is that kind of affection and all the attention. But as soon as she has it, she was a bit like, oh, have I flown too close to the sun?
He doesn't know what he's
doing. It's weird. Yeah, exactly. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, I really like your notion, Kira, of kind of separating Steve Jobs, the icon, from this book. Like, just go and read it for the story
of Lisa's
lived experience. And then you can read up on the other books, because there are oodles and doodles of biographies about Jobs that you could pick up if you want. So again, it's called Small Fry by Lisa Brennan Jobs. Lads, out of five, Cameron, what are we giving it?
I think 4.5. Oof. I never get fives, but I really enjoyed it.
Okay, Kira?
Yeah, I give it a 4. I felt so immersed, you know?
Yeah, I'm a 4 as well. And that's after the audiobook. A quick note, if you are subscribed to Audible, you can listen to it for free. It doesn't use any of your credits. It's part of the Audible Unlimited thing. And I would highly recommend it. I really enjoyed it. And I think listening to it in audiobook, I'll be honest, I had to pause it a few times just to kind of emotionally digest some aspects of it.
Yeah.
But it is a lovely, engaging, very human story that tells of human bonds, human breakings, and I suppose elements of forgiveness as well. Like, there's definitely a bit of an arc of that as well.
Identity and belonging is another huge one.
Oh, it's heavy going, but it's definitely worth it. Kira, you are on picking duty for the next book club. What are we going for?
Yeah, so we've done nonfiction the last couple of times now. So I'm going to bring us back down to my childhood wonder. And we're going to go for a sci-fi piece. This is Project Hail Mary. It came out in 2021 by Andy Weir. I've heard many a good thing about Andy Weir, so I've always wanted to read it. And I thought, why not bring my pals along for the ride?
Wonderful. Well, if you want to join us, you can email techtalk@newstalk.com. Also, if you've read Small Fry and you have thoughts that you want to share, please do email us techtalk@newstalk.com. We will review that book in 3 weeks' time. But for the moment, Kira and Cameron, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Jess.